Okay, welcome everyone to this Spirituality and Peace series. This is David Nicol, director of the Gaia Field Project, and we're just delighted to have you with us on this Sunday morning. We wanted to explain a little bit about the context for this Spirituality and Peace series for those of you who are listening in for the first time. We wanted to let you know that it's not really just a one-off call, but each call in this series is designed to help build a field of peace throughout this summer in the Northern Hemisphere. We launched on June 22 with a global attunement for peace that linked 8 different hub sites around the world and had hundreds of people calling in to initiate this field of peace. And each Sunday, we're feeding this field of peace with a different quality that's transmitted by a teacher from a different tradition. So each week we're adding another layer of peace to this field, and we'll come together again on September 21st for the peak event, another global attunement for peace that will raise the energy to a climax and will involve all of the teachers and their networks from each of the calls, so that we can really experience this very rich and diverse field of peace. So thank you so much for adding your presence to this field. And throughout the week following each of these calls, we have another feature, which is a global care room, which is an internet site that has a Google Earth map. And when you log in, your location shows up as a point of light on the map. And each week we upload to that room the guided meditation from each Sunday's call, so that throughout the week you can return and dip into the field and keep on weaving the field with others around the world at your convenience. So these are all the different ways that we're wanting to build this field of peace and nurture this foundation for a shift to a global culture of peace. So today's call, we're featuring my organization, our organization, the Gaia Field Project, and we're wanting to share with you a bit more about our project, how it began, this notion of subtle activism that we're wanting to bring forth. And the heart of the call is going to be what we call the Gaia Field Attunement Practice, which is a practice that's evolved out of many years of experimentation from our team. And it's the one that we used at the on the Global Attunement for Peace call on June 22. We had initially intended for this call to be focused on bringing healing to the masculine-feminine split in our culture. But after the events on Friday in Colorado, we felt that we wanted to respond in some way. So we're actually changing the focus of the call to just simply bring in a spirit of love and healing into the field. It feels like the field could use soothing at the moment. And like, you know, many of us are affected in a deep way by what happened, and so we wanted to offer into the field this place of healing and support. So we'll be doing that practice in about 15 minutes or so. But before we do, I'd love to introduce my friend and colleague and partner on this project, Leslie Meehan. And we'd like to talk with you a little bit about the Gaia Field Project and its origins. So Leslie is a former software engineer who had a career in Silicon Valley and had a kind of awakening experience, and came to California Institute of Integral Studies, where I met her, and she and I both got our PhDs from CIS. She's a soccer mom. She's a maven, amazing network builder on multiple levels, and she's my dear and close friend. So, Leslie, welcome to the call.
Very happy to be here. Good morning, everybody.
So, Leslie, I thought we could start with just sharing with folks something about the genesis of the Guyfield Project, and wonder if you would like to start and just to share from your perspective some of the story of how this all began.
Sure. Well, David and I became friends back when we were starting our PhDs back in the early 2000s and worked together on several different projects. We just hit it off right away. And we were working together on a community building project in the area where I live in the Santa Cruz Mountains in California back in 2005 or so. We were hosting these community gatherings where we were bringing people together to talk about how to support a healthier, more resilient community. And we spent one weekend in retreat dreaming a healthy redwood forest because there was a serious logging threat in the area. And during this process, we were realizing that the power of the work, of working with the heart of community, needed to be grounded and deepened by reflective practices such as meditation and prayer and dreaming, because when you touch the heart, that's really where love and healing and transformation comes from. And one night, David had a dream about doing this kind of work and hosting meditation and prayer events locally and around the world. And when he told me the story of this dream the next day, I just burst into tears and said, you know, me too. I really feel this. And we consider that the seed of what became the Guyfield Project. That's when it was really born. And we've moved into relationships with other people who are network organizers for these kinds of reflective practices, and been one by one reaching out and becoming a collaborative hub of people who are doing this kind of work. And it's taken many forms over the last few years. And I think I'll turn the story back over to David now to talk about how it was born at CIIS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Leslie. And I think what your story illustrates is that there's something about this vision of connecting our deep spiritual practice with our collective healing and transformation that seems to be this emergent vision that many of us share. Presumably many of you attracted to this call feel that calling on some level. And one of the dimensions of our project has been to try to bring more coherence to what we saw as this emerging field of practice. Many different initiatives and groups are interested, feeling the same calling and seeing the potential, in particular, I think, with the internet and other communication technologies these days, of bringing people together around the world and sensing the power of doing that, of harnessing the power of our collective meditation and prayer. And so what we recognized was this need to find a way to help support the field recognize itself, to bring more coherence to the field, more collaboration between initiatives. And one of the ways we've done that is by introducing this meme of what we call subtle activism as a way of describing this work. And we've found that many different groups, many people, when they hear that term, it seems to click inside as a way of helping people to understand what they've been doing or wanting to do. It's a term that I think helps to capture this impulse to try to reintegrate different dimensions of our life, our experience that in our modern world have been split apart, such as trying to bring together more of the inner and the outer expressions of our life, the private and the public realm, trying to bring the wisdom of spirituality more into contact with the flow of our collective unfolding. So a big piece of our work has been to understand and articulate what this means, this notion of subtle activism, and to present it as a legitimate form of action. It might be a subtle form, but one that creates perhaps a crucial foundation in consciousness for all the other changes that need to take place in the world. And so we established at California Institute of Integral Studies this research project, a center called the Center for Subtle Activism. And thankfully, we've always had great support from the administration at CIS. So part of our work has been to articulate the theory behind subtle activism so that it could sort of stand in the world as an idea. And the other dimension to the project was always to experiment with doing the practice. So we would do these cycles of action and then reflection. So in the beginning, we convened a number of experiments where we had multiple hub sites linked by video conference and then broadcast over the internet for global meditation events. And we included places like the Findhorn community in Scotland and Auroville in India, University for Peace in Costa Rica, as well as CIIS. And we really had some beautiful experiences of connecting across the globe through that video technology and sort of getting our feet wet in the whole art and science of how to do these events. Leslie, I don't know if you have something to add here about your experience of those events and how they may have impacted you at all.
Yes, this is the first time I had experienced something, a meditative experience on this scale. The first event that we did at CIS, we were connecting CIS with Findhorn and Auroville, and one of the things that we did during that call was we asked everybody who was there to focus their love and their best healing intentions and all their energy at each different location. And we started with Findhorn, and then we went to Auroville. And when we focused the intention back at CIS, all of a sudden I felt like I was literally physically hit with this soft, warm pillow of love feeling. It was indescribable, and I could feel it in my body, and I just was thrilled and astounded, and I've never forgotten it. And for me, that was a real confirmation that, oh my gosh, this stuff works. This subtle activism is real love in action.
Great.
So that's been an inspiration for me all along. And David, before we go into more of the story, maybe you could share the definition of subtle activism as it's evolved to this point, just to name that right now.
Yeah, so we're defining subtle activism as practices of spirit or consciousness intended to support collective transformation. So what we mean by that is it's taking the usual focus of spirituality on individual transformation and saying, you know, we can extend that to collective transformation. So something like a global meditation that's intended to support world peace, or let's say a ritual that's intended to support or protect a forest from being logged. It's like using any kind of practice, consciousness-based practice, that has as its goal the transformation not just of the individual but also of the collective realm. So it's an expression of a more sort of socially engaged spiritual approach, but one that has a particular focus of looking at the potential of the practice itself and the field that gets created through the practice as this subtle form of action, a subtle form of support for the shifts that we need to make on the collective level. So that is the basic definition. One of the things that we have looked at with subtle activism, it can occur in many, many different forms. It can be practiced by individuals or small groups or really large groups in these global meditation events. One thing that perhaps we're particularly interested in terms of the global meditation events is that we feel that they have a particular significance as being a logical practice for an emerging planetary spirituality that goes beyond the normal boundaries of race, of religion, of culture, where people can have this direct experience of being united with many others of various religions and nations and places, united in their concern for the common issues that we face as common members of planet Earth, and also experiencing this form of spirituality that's not an avoidance or an escape from our problems, but one that really embraces them and that provides this space in which we can tap it more into our collective intuitive wisdom that can serve in resolving those issues. So, we really feel that there's this untapped potential and very exciting potential of this phenomenon of global synchronized meditation events to really support the shift that we're all dedicated to making. So,
and while we... Go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to say that so we've done some specific programs that exemplify this orientation of choosing some issue, some event that's happening in the world, and then bringing our inner resources to it. And so after we did a number of these experiments in global meditation with these video conferences, we evolved to doing a couple of longer programs called Wise USA and Wise Climate. And Leslie, why don't you go ahead and describe a bit more detail about what we did in those programs?
So one of the interesting challenges in creating a synchronized event that focuses on a common theme is still honoring and respecting the various diverse traditions that people come from and the different practices that they have. So one of the dances is how to collaboratively co-create an event that's going to be welcoming to people from all traditions, including no, religious or spiritual faith tradition at all. Can be welcoming to the scientists, for example. So when we did our Wise USA program in 2008, we were consciously intending not to invoke a specific outcome for the election in the U.S. We wanted to support the deepest heart space for everyone involved. And we worked together as a network of subtle activist leaders to create our intention together. And the words that we came up with together as an example of a collective intention is, here was our intention then, we the people, the ancestors of our great-great-grandchildren, call forth the deepest wisdom and the highest compassion from the heart and soul of America, for the benefit of the entire Earth community and the next seven generations. So that was the core intention that we used throughout this program that went for several months in 2008. And we, like during the Summer of Peace now, we hosted calls with 20 or 30 different leaders in the Subtle Activist Network to listen to everybody's perspective and to share a common practice together. And we did the same thing the next year in the Wise Climate Program in 2009, where I traveled to Melbourne to the Parliament of the World's Religions, and we co-hosted with Unity FM radio and with the Association for Global New Thought. Dr. Michael Beckwith led a program that was on the was live at the Parliament and also broadcast on Unity FM radio, where we held a similar intention that was blessing the climate change conference in Copenhagen from the Parliament. So again, it was connected to a real-world event, but bringing the spiritual love from those of us gathered around the world. So those were a couple of the main practices, and then after that, we shifted back into a more reflective phase, as both David and I were working on our dissertations. So I'll let him take the mic back. Thanks, David.
Yeah, so thanks, Leslie. So what we've been doing, as we've been saying, is trying to develop both the theory and the practice. And in this, so one of the major pieces here was, well, for me, was writing my PhD dissertation on this topic. And then that has evolved, thankfully, into a class at CIS, which Sean Kelly, a professor in the Philosophy, Cosmology, and Consciousness program at CIS, and myself taught this last semester. So it's been gratifying to see the work mature in that sense, to the point where we can offer that as a graduate level class and start to see more and more people engage with these ideas. And then in a practical way, what we found from our experience in these programs, the WISE USA and WISE Climate, increasingly what we found was that people seem to be hungry for deepening into the contemplative space. For that was really the heart of the work. And so one of the very key features of our project is that about 4 years ago, we as a group, what we call the Gaia Field Council, began to do this practice each week. We used to call it deep listening, and now we call it the Gaia Field Attunement Practice. So each week we would call in and enter into this space together, this deep listening space, and it really has become the absolute foundation and heart of our project and our work. And it's been a way in which we've been able to refine the practice and also to have the project itself guided in an organic way by again and again going back into this space and being open to guidance about where to go, what to do. And we've also been increasingly shown in that space that the essence of our work is really to invite others into the field with us and to share that field. And it's a simple practice, and yet one that allows a very deep experience. And so it might be a good segue, actually, into the practice that we're going to do. And Leslie, I'll just ask if you have any thoughts or comments before we go into our practice.
I'd just like to send a special hug to the, many people who've been involved in the project over the years. And today we have other beloved friends from the Gaia Field Council who are on the call too. So without naming everyone, just wanted to honor and welcome those people in the circle with us today and everyone else who's joining us today. So yes, I think it's time, and we have other programs that we're working with now in bringing this practice into a community and world healer training program, and we're being involved in the Summer of Peace. So there's many ways that the attunement is coming to life. So let's bring it to life today.
Great. Thank you, Leslie. So I want to just explain a little bit about this practice before we go into it. I will guide a short meditation here, and then we'll go into a space of silence together for about 15 minutes or so. And then we'll open up the call for sharing from any of you who feel moved to share. And I want to really invite you to be open to that opportunity. It tends to be a very powerful part of the practice, where what we found is that when people take the risk of sharing their inner world with others on the call, that it really drops the level of intimacy in the field, and it's really helpful to encouraging others as well to trust what's arising in their inner world and to share that with others. So there's no requirement to share. It's perfectly fine to remain in the silent meditation space during that part of the call, but the invitation is there, and we'll be inviting you to do that towards the end of the call. So, and then just one more thing before we go into the practice, which is we're aware that many people on the call have are affected by this incident on Friday in Colorado, but this is a global program as well, and so we're dedicating this call to those who are affected by violence all over the world. And we're just going to bring in a simple intention of bringing love and healing into the field to support all those so affected. Okay, so I want to invite you now to just take a moment to make this conscious transition into a deeper meditative space. You can take a couple of deeper breaths. Allow your eyes to close. And I want to invite you to notice whatever is true for you in your experience, whatever feelings are present, just letting them be just as they are. Now I want to invite you to bring your attention to your connection to the earth through your physical contact, through your feet, through your weight in the seat. And I'd invite you to visualize roots extending down from your feet into the earth, deep down into the nourishing and rejuvenating soil of the earth. And just notice how your awareness of that connection with the earth grounds you and brings security to your experience. I want to invite you now to bring your awareness to the energy of the sun and the stars above, opening to the cosmic energies, cosmic light. And imagining your energy field being bathed and filled with the sun's light, filling you with its warmth and its clarity, and cleansing you. Let's imagine that light surrounding your energy field like a healthy membrane that only allows in energies for your highest good. In this space, it's welcome presence of our higher selves, any personal guides you feel connected to. Now I want to invite you to bring your awareness to presence of everyone else who's on the call or listening to the webcast, or who may listen to this call later. You can't sense them directly, but just intuitively sensing their presence and imagining your connection like a network of light. And let's imagine now our group field surrounded by light. It also provides protection and maintains the integrity of our group field. Let's welcome now into our group field allies from the natural world and from subtle dimensions of spirit. And then let us be aware of our group field being embedded in a wider planetary field, the Gaia field. It contains all dimensions of life on planet Earth. Finally, let's open to the universal field, the great mystery, the source of all that is. So we'll enter now into our time of silence, joining together in this intention. May this field of love and healing bring peace to each of us and to all those open to receiving it. I'll open the field for sharing when we get to that stage of the call. So the circle is open for sharing. It's fine to remain in silence, to remain in the meditative place. But you're invited, if you feel moved, to share. And for those who are on the phone, press 2 on your phone if you'd like to share. If you're on the webcast, you can type something into the webcast chat box and I'll share it with the others.
So if you'd like to share, you want to press star 2 to raise your hand. Again, that's star 2.
Okay.
And when you share, please start with your name and end with I'm complete or something to let us know that you're done sharing.
So I see we have Lo Chamberlain from Chicago. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? Thank you very much for this meditation. This is beautiful. And I am Laura Chamberlain. I'm from Chicago. And I really, really felt like a wave of energy into my heart. About halfway through the meditation, it was like the wave was sent out and then it was returned. Ooh, really strong. It was really, really beautiful. So thank you for that. Gave me goosebumps and it was really beautiful. And I'm complete. I'm complete.
Thank you.
How do I end?
Barbara Smith-Stoff from the webcast just simply says, just would like to say thank you. James O'Day from Crestone. Go ahead, James.
Yes, I'm so deeply reminded of the vision of Meher Baba, who says that love is in no way susceptible to any kind of force or coercion. It is not, it cannot reach love, any form of coercion or forcing. But it's through the unfettered expression of love, through the free transmission of love, just as we experienced in this call, that a new humanity will arise out of that freedom of the spirit of love transmitted from heart to heart. I am complete.
Thank you, James. So Tina from Palo Alto says in the webcast, thank you so much for this event. We are the world and we need to join in love every day. I'll just share for myself what I experienced in the meditation was very deep, beautiful field, hard to describe in a sense. It felt smooth and rich and deep. And then I had this insight that it was coming to me that there's something in America that knows on some level that it's wanting to mature, wanting to grow up, and that there's a certain dimension to maturing that involves embracing suffering and experiencing suffering. And it's not something that America has done so much of. And so the sense I was getting was that unconsciously it was sort of acting out these sorts of experiences to try to feel this suffering and in grappling with it to mature in some way. So that's what came up for me. So any other comments or sharings? We still have a number of minutes. It's Laura Chamberlain again from Chicago. Go ahead, Laura.
Yes, the woman who suggested that we have a meditation about love every day, that is a tremendous, even just a 15-minute meditation about love. Wow, I would really, really like that. I, of course, meditate myself, but it just is very powerful in group, and I would say a big yahoo to that if you guys ever decide to do a daily meditation. And thank you very much for all you do.
Thank you.
This is Leslie. I've been what we call holding space for this call. So I was not as, I was holding a healing intention for all of those who were involved in the call. And often the space keepers don't speak, but I wanted to share my own experience of even as a space holder, I was just experiencing this deep, kind of alive light feeling, and I was noticing thoughts of things that I'm worried about and concerned about in my life coming up, like with my daughter and my partner, and wondering, you know, why am I thinking about that during this sort of a space? And then I kind of relax into, oh, you know, I can bring them into this feeling of love too, and I did. And then all of a sudden, I felt hit by a wave of love, similar to what's happened in the past, and it was just so beautiful. So I don't know if it's the same. I'm curious whether a wave came through, or we co-created a wave. At about the same time, that'd be interesting to know. So I feel personally healed and grateful. Thank you. Thank you means I'm complete. That's my way of saying I'm complete, so thanks.
Okay, so we have D&T Caldwell. I don't have the first name there, from Texas. Go ahead, you're live.
My name is Taryn Caldwell, and my husband and I are doing this meditation with everybody. And I can't thank you enough. This is transforming my life, what you are doing with the Gaia Field Project and what the Shift Network is doing. I listen to their calls daily. And we live in a small community in the woods in East Texas. And so I felt this amazing light and connection with everyone on the call. And then was praying and meditating for our own small community here. And then the larger community. And my gratitude to you all is so profound. And I believe this is... I'm 68 years old, and I believe this is one of the reasons that I've come. So thank you, and bless everybody, and thank you for this opportunity, and I'm complete.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, we have another guest with a hand raised, and we'll give you the line now. I don't have your name on the screen, but whoever raised your hand, you have the mic.
I'm going to see if that's me. This is Meg in San Francisco.
Go ahead.
Okay, great. And I just wanted to say that what's been happening for me in the last few days and then again this morning with you all is this image of kind of unwinding the events in the theater and like unwinding all the contractions and unwinding the fears and the defenses and the oppositional energies that were somehow gestated through other experiences, like kind of unwinding the set of conditions that was causal in the event, going all the way back actually in my mind's eye to when this young man was a child, and then all the way back into his in the womb experience. And that's just what's coming to me, is really an unwinding, going all the way back to the very roots and intentions of all of our lives, but to bring that light and healing and welcome and love energy into our awareness as a, just as a shared energy and as a way of caring for each other and even caring for the tenderness that's inside of this man, so over-defended and aggressive. So just wanting to go all the way back to seeing his beginning with the same level of vulnerability and clarity that all of us came in with. Thank you. I'm complete.
Thank you. Thank you, Meg. So there's some people in the webcast are asking how could they participate more in this sort of healing process. And so I just invite you to go to our website at gaiafield.net and stay up to date with at least what we're doing in this sort of practice. So thank you so much, everybody. Thank you very much for this time together. And as a way of just bringing this to completion, let's just take another 15, 20 seconds or so in silence together, just in a space of quiet gratitude for each other, for all the beings on all the levels that showed up in support of this field and this intention. Okay, blessings, everyone. We'll see
and
you next time.
In closing, if we could please unmute the line so everyone who would like to could share a word of love or blessing or whatever they want to offer. Love.
Aloha.
Namaste.
Blessings.
Blessings.
Namaste.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Ahava.